Welcome to Beyond Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Petrellis, and we are super excited. This is our second episode this week. We've had we had a father-son combo on The Uncomfortable Truth, and it was unbelievable episode. And here we are now with an awesome athlete, somebody who I've been following now for a couple of years on social media, one heck of a football player, one heck of a basketball player, has won some back-to-back state championships, defensive player of the year as a sophomore, both football and in basketball. So someone who is defensive side of guy, which I love being a coordinator for a really long time. So we'll definitely sink our teeth into that and just have some fun in between going to the mall, the Catholic here at Beyond. We're huge fans of MC. They were one of the first schools to really buy into what we were doing when we first started. So we are super loyal to you guys, but without further ado, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Ben Howard the Fourth.
What's going on? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, obviously we're excited to have you on here. I gave you a killer intro. And before we chat, I just real quick, I want to shout out your AD and actually former football coach out there, Bill Raycraft. Like I said to you here a second ago, he was the first guy to really, one of the first guys to really buy into what we were doing. I know he was listening to the podcast very early when his girls basketball coach, Jay Keen, came on. And, you know, that was episode like 6 or 7 that he was listening before that. So he's truly one of the, like the day ones for us. So I just want to give him a shout out. We've covered you guys, football, boys hockey, girls basketball. We've covered rugby, maybe boys basketball. That's the one we're going for. We know how good you guys are, and obviously the mosh is wild, so it'd be a lot of fun to go there and so on. But I just wanted to give him some love because he's given us a lot of love over the years, and it's my first chance to kind of give it back on the podcast with one of his former players and athletes at the school. So but let's talk about you. One really impressive thing that obviously your play, but I want to rewind the story here a little bit in your choice to go to MC. When I kind of get a little bio on you and reading about you, you live in Roxbury currently, or did you live in Roxbury?
I currently live in Roxbury.
All right. You might want to go a little closer. I'm having a little trouble just hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. I can hear you like way better now. Perfect. Yeah, you might have to like get close to it when you talk. Sorry. that's all right, though. That's all right. You're on a podcast, so it's cool. So obviously the commute, right? Like I'm thinking like you go Catholic conference here, like BC High is probably closer, maybe CM, maybe even closer to where you live in a sense. Malden Catholic's a hike for you. So, you know, talk about the choice of Malden Catholic and why you felt that that was the best place for you to kind of take your talents and skills.
I feel like I went to MC. Well, there were a few options, you know. I was going to go public school. I was going to go – BC High was one of the things like I was thinking. But MC, really, out of all the schools that I was looking at, MC was the only school that welcomed me with open arms. And I feel like it's more of a family, like on the court, off the court, on the field, off the field. It's like I know I can call either one of my coaches, whether it's Coach Gaff, Coach Walsh, Coach Raycraft, anybody, and they'll be there for me off the court and off the field. So I know it's bigger, deeper than sports with them. So that's really why.
And that's great. Obviously, the maturity of you as a young kid to like recognize that and see how important that is. And that is like kids who travel and go to a school, they're going to a school that you don't know anybody. So you're like, you're relearning friends, remaking friends. And I went to Arlington Catholic, and I always say like, those are my friends still. I'm 40 years old, and like I still get together with these guys all the time. And I think it's something to be said when you kind of choose your friends when you go to high school, like, you know, versus public, like you've just known everybody all these years and they go to school and you just see everybody. Like here, you're a little bit more selective around who you want to be around, who you choose to spend your time with. So that's kind of the cool maturity on your part. And you have obviously a lot of friends that probably all live closer to there. So for you, you're the friend who has to commute everywhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. So, they always complain about, oh, you live mad far. So sometimes I gotta get on the train or they come out here. It is a commute. It's fun.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about like a commute for you. So I'm interested in like your commute to school then. So like what time are you waking up? Like are you driving there? Do you get a ride there? Do you take a train? Do you take a bus? Like I coached AC. I had kids traveling from Mattapan, Jamaica Plain, Rocks, like that came and played for us. And they were taking, I mean, I came from Brockton, took a train every day. So I'm interested in your commute and what that looks like.
Really, I wake up around 5:45, 6, catch the catch the train, or sometimes I may catch an Uber because it's not really that far. And I live on the Orange Line. I live next to Roxbury Crossing. So I just hop on the train. It's one way to Malden Center, or and I get an Uber from Malden Center, or I'll either catch the bus, whichever.
Wow.
Like if I'm running late, I'll get an Uber from Malden Center. Or but if I'm early and I know I have time, like, you know, I just catch the bus.
And, and what's your commute home look like? Like, say after football practice, like, or I mean, you might have late basketball practice. I don't know, but I just know football. Like, talk about what time you're getting home and stuff like that.
It depends. On a good day, I get home around like 8:30 on a good day. Usually it's like 9:30.
That's unreal. And you
still the latest I ever got home was 10, and I still had homework to do. But during the season, we have study hall. And that's what's helped me. That's why, going back to your question before, what made me choose MC, they made sure I had a way to, because they knew the commute was hard. So they were like, so they set up the study hall, everything, made sure I'm there. They literally chased me down and, yo, come on, come get your homework done. I get my homework done. And then after practice, I have nothing to worry about.
You see, that's unreal. And that's, I mean, again, that goes back to the maturity of you a little bit as far as making that choice and saying, hey, this place feels like home, even though it might not be very close to home. It still felt like home. And I think that's great. And then obviously, were you a two sport? Like, did you, obviously you probably played basketball outside of before high school. Did you play football before high school too?
I played football. I played since I was 6, 7.
Okay. So you played pretty much your whole life.
I played Dorchester Eagles, Pop Warner, all my life. Well, I played Mattapan Patriots, and then I went to Dorchester.
So were you pretty pumped when Dorchester won the championship?
Oh, that was – I'm proud of those boys for that, man. Shout out the Eagles for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really cool to follow. You know, I started following when we went down there, and then I started really looking into it. I'm like, wow, they've been down there a lot. Like, I didn't realize how much – it's like almost like every year. It's like the Patriots at one point. Like, that's kind of who they are, you know. It's crazy, but – to see that was really cool. It really was.
It was, especially being from the city. It was like, that was really a special moment for the city. We needed that.
You guys had like a parade too, like a pretty big parade I saw, right?
We did when they got back from Florida.
That was awesome. Yeah, I heard that. I was driving. I think I was listening to 96.9. I heard them talking about they had a parade. I was like, they had a parade? Like, I would have went down there with the camera just to like kind of catch stuff, you know? Yeah. So that was really cool. But let's jump into football. I know you're currently in hoop season, and we'll talk plenty of hoop, but let's just talk football. That's my end of the court here a little bit. I'm a defensive guy too. So I saw you playing. We kind of pre-chatted, and I mean this, I wasn't saying this to you. As a football coach, I'm sure a lot of football coaches say this. I always just remember certain plays and certain downs and distances, time on the clock, like certain times. And we're covering you guys against BC High, and obviously a school that you almost attended, as you said, and they ran a counter, and I was watching, I was filming, and I actually might still have it on my phone. I have to look, but they ran a counter and I saw the guard pull, and I was like, oh, here we go. Like, the guard's going the other way from action. And you kind of came off, and the hit was timed of the handoff. Like, I felt like as soon as the handoff hit, you were already in the backfield. You could have arguably tackled the quarterback too, making the handoff. I mean, that's how close you were to that. But that's when I was like, man. And then when I found out you were only a sophomore, it blew my mind. To me, just kind of talk about you a little bit as a football player, defensive end. You take pride in the defensive side of the ball. It's such high school football, is such an offensive game, and everyone's playing offense. But there's those guys who love like playing defense and hitting, getting dirty, man. So talk about that a little bit.
Because growing up, like I said, I played Pop Warner, and I used to play center. Like, believe it or not, I used to play center. I used to play lineman. I used to always want to play like wide receiver, tight end for the highlight catches, because, you know, going on Instagram, going on social media, you would see, like, as a kid, I seen kids go catching ball one hand. Oh, I want to do that. Kids, you know, the highlights. But then it took for me to like realize, like, that's not me. My job, and it's like when I got to high school, I had to realize there's roles. So my role is doing what other kids don't want. And that's what's going to get me to the next level. Even in basketball, I'm not a go out and give you 20 points type guy. I'm going to go out and give you 20 rebounds and probably 5 blocks type guy. And football, on the defensive end, I take pride in it because it's like, this is my job. This is what I do. And I'm a very competitive person. Like, if me and my grandmother were racing to the front door right now, I'm not letting her beat me. That's how, you know? So it's like, I take pride in it a lot. So
that's my thing. That might be the greatest description of competitive play of all time. Like, of all time, dude. I'm not letting my grandmother beat me to the door. I've never heard anything like that. I'm going to steal that. I really am going to use it. That was awesome. But seriously, and that's kind of what the defensive side of the ball really needs to be, right? Like, you know, I was defensive coordinator for a long time, man. And having a really good defensive end is, I didn't have it very often, but when I did, it is game changing. I mean, teams are automatically got to double, whether they have to put a tight end on the line to double, or they have to literally double you. You know, if you're a Y9, it's kind of hard to double you, but they're going to account for where you are on the field. And as a defensive coordinator, like, that's great because that means somebody else is free. That means you can send pressure maybe somewhere else. That means you can be a little bit more creative in your coverages or disguises. So that obviously is a cool mentality to have. And like you said, so many kids are just touchdowns, offense. It's in every major sport. Offense shows the highlights. It's on SportsCenter, 89% of the clips, right? And you don't see those defensive plays unless they are something else. And talk about your squad this year a little, because I did follow you guys. I didn't get to cover you guys this year, but you guys definitely took some steps forward. Being a young contributor on the team over the last couple of years, maybe talk about the change you're seeing in this team a little bit. You lost some tough ones the year before. I think even that BC High one was like, it was a low scoring game, and then all of a sudden was just off to the races, both teams back and forth late in that game. But talk about maybe the culture change or the shift you saw maybe in year two of like a new head coach, a new program, and so on.
Are you talking about my sophomore year?
So your sophomore year going into like this year, like the change you've seen in your team?
I've seen a lot, like especially from, well, I think it started with sophomore year. They announced captains. It was me, Marcus, and George, my quarterback. And we all sat down and we were like, what do we want to do? Do we want to hold this reputation of being 1-12, 1-11? Or do we want to flip the script? And we all decided, let's just buy in. Like when you brought up the BC High game and the counter, and you seen when I when I tackled the running back,
you suplexed him into the ground about 10 feet deep, if I'm being totally honest on the description. But yes, a tackle is nice to say, yes.
I suplexed him. So I didn't just do it off of just me being a football player. I did it because I bought into what my coaches told me the whole week and watching film. So that's what really helped us a lot this year, was we just wanted it more. We wanted more for the team. We see the potential and we're still young. And I think we woke up a lot of people this past year, my junior year, because no one really expected us to, well, I think we won a good like five games, somewhere around there. But people, there were games we went into, people were like, oh, MC, they're going to lose. Oh, MC, last year they were 1-12. But it's like, it was adding fire to our, it was adding fuel to our fire. Because now we're seeing the rankings, we're seeing this, we're seeing that. And now we're like, we want this. Like, we want this more than this team. And before every game, I made sure I told my team, yo, we punch first. We punch first, so, and they don't punch back. And if they do punch back, they're going to go on their run. We just got to keep going, keep your head up. Because at the end of the day, it's football. They're going to have their run, we're going to have our run. Basketball, same thing. They're going to have their run, we're going to have our run. It's not going to dictate how we play. We just got to respond. Keep punching.
It's just always about righting the ship, right? Like at the end of the day, it's going to rock back and forth, but it's about righting it. And that's kind of what the great teams do, or what the great athletes do. They're able to right that. Did you say you were a captain as a sophomore?
Yes, I was.
For football? Holy smokes. And basketball?
Yes.
So, okay, let me ask you this, because I've only had one other guest on of all time that was a captain as a sophomore, Natalia Fotopoulos of Arlington Softball. She was captain in her sophomore and junior year. Talk about that, like, I guess I'm going to say, like, talk about that pressure. You're a young kid. You're commuting, you know, long distances every day. There's a lot that alone. And now you're expected to be a leader amongst your team. And even maybe having some older kids on there that are kind of like, man, I put, you know, like it, the lead older kids is a little tougher. I'm interested in that.
Really, at first, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say it was easy. It's not easy. It's kind of all mental.
Yeah.
If you want me to be honest, especially me being so young, like my freshman year, I was coming off the bench to kids that were actually really good. But if you want me to be honest, it was like everything they did, I was like a sponge. I soaked it up and it's all up here. So then, because I knew my time was coming, I tell younger kids this all the time, stay patient, keep working, your time's going to come. And my time came and I was ready because mentally, I told myself, you got this. You got every day. I wake up every day. I tell myself, you got this. Like, come on, let's go. I get to practice, get to school. It's time to lift up your teammates. Teammates looking down, pick his head up. Literally, like I physically walk over to one of my teammates, their head down, pick it up. Let's go. Let's keep working. And really, it's just, yeah, all mental. You have to be mentally tough if you really want that.
I mean, you're pretty impressive, dude. I got to be honest with you. Like, that's a great answer, an honest answer. And yeah, it ain't easy, dude. It is not easy to lead people in general. It's not easy to lead people. But to be kind of a young kid doing that, and like you said, soaking it all up and listening to those guys and understanding, yeah, your time's going to come. And when it comes, you are going to be ready. Like, people aren't always ready for their time. As much as they want that time to come and they need that time to come and they expect that time to come, some people aren't ready for it even when they know it's coming. So it's great to hear you say that. And yeah, real maturity there for you as well. Let's flip to basketball a little bit now. So obviously you're a heck of a basketball player. I mean, I see highlights in the One Tap Media. I follow him. I met him a few years back covering you guys in football. He highlights you a lot. I see a lot of stuff of you. But again, on the defensive side of the court, you're an animal, dude. You are an animal. And I love it. Like the mentality, the mental toughness. Yes. Checks all the boxes. I mean, talk about that. Is that your role on the squad? Like, people know that, like, you are the guy protecting the rim and you got to bring it again. Like, is that who you are?
That's exactly who I am. But here's how I got it. Because in fifth grade, remember when I told you, I'm not a go out and give you 20 points, 20 rebounds to 5 blocks type of guy. The reason why I have that attitude is because in fifth grade, I started playing with an AAU team called Team Spartans. I don't know if you're familiar with them, are you?
I am not, no.
Well, they're from Boston. Coach Joe, that's my guy. I love that guy to death. But yeah, it's like he installed this mindset where it's like, you're not the most skilled kid, but you're one of the biggest and one of the most athletic. So every rebound's yours and the paint is yours. No one's coming in here. And so it's like, as I got older from fifth grade up until now, my skill set developed, but I still have that dog mentality.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird to describe, but it's like, instead of me going out and being like, I'm going to get 20, I'm going to get 30. I'm going to go get 20 rebounds. I'm going to go get 5 blocks. I'm going to get on the floor for every 50-50 ball. And that's really, and then once you do that, then the points start to come. So that's really how I think.
Are you a super animated kid on the court? Like, if you make a big block or like you score a big bucket, like, do you kind of lose your mind a little bit? Like, you get pumped up?
Oh yeah. That's me. I get an A1, I'm screaming in your face. I don't care. I'm flexing everything.
I love that. And that's a man, dude. Like, and that goes back to a defensive mentality and like that mental toughness. Like, if teams look across the court and have to go against you every night and they see a kid who is getting rebounds and taking prides and, you said, diving for those 50-50 balls and has high energy, man, I would not want to go against you all game. And that that can mentally psych teams out very early on, as far as even early as warmups, when they see a kid who's out there doing that. And you guys have had great success. You've had some great kids come through your program. Talk about just maybe the sustained success you've seen in this basketball program since going there. I mean, it's back-to-back state champions. You're a huge part of that. You're a huge energy guy. I mean, what is it about the culture of that program or your program that just rocks?
I think we just, well, as of right now, you know, we're off to a rocky start where I say we're 4-4, 5-4, but it doesn't matter. It's early in the season, so I'm not really stressing it. But I would say why we have so much success is because the players and the coaching. Because, like I said, it's a family. Yeah, the Coach Walsh, he's going to let you hear it. But at the end of the day, he's the same guy you could call for anything off anything, and he's there. So I think kids know that, and kids realize he's there for you no matter what. It's bigger than basketball with him. So it's like me, well, me personally, and I know a few of my teammates think like this too, a guy like that, a coach like that, that gives us his all on and off the court, the least we could do is go out and play hard for you. That's the least we could do. So I think that's why we're so successful, because one, we play hard, and two, we just buy into what coach says to us and get it done.
Yeah, it's nice when you know that you have a coach who just like is a good coach, right? Because then it's plain and simple. You want to play for them because they care about you. They're knowledgeable about what they're talking about. You know, you watch the film, they tell you certain things are going to happen. You see it happen. And it's just like, man, like, okay, I want to play for this person, you know? And that's cool to hear that. And that's awesome. Now, I have a funny question that I kind of want to ask you, but I'm asking this question, but I think the answer actually might be you. If an alien civilization came flying down on this planet and landed on Malden Catholic's football field right at the 50-yard line, they send out their biggest, baddest warrior, and they say, send out MC's warrior to get this field back. Biggest, baddest MC warrior. Are they sending you? Like, is that safe to say that they're sending you?
I would hope they don't send me, but they might. I would hope they don't send me, but they might send me.
I mean, dude, I'm listening to you and I'm just like, man, this is a kid that like I'd want to build a program around. Like, this is unbelievable stuff here. Now, I mean that in all fun, but like when I ask that question, people always say, oh, this teammate. And I'm like, dude, this kid's gonna be the answer to the question. Like, there's no doubt about it. But let's just jump back into, you know, football and hoops here a little bit more. You play in what I think is the best conference in all of high school sports, no matter what sport you play in, and that's the Catholic Conference. Is there a school that is you just get up for a little bit more in those conference games, that when they're coming to town or you're going to town to play them?
St. John's Prep.
All right, I got to hear why.
I don't even know why. It's just when I see the prep on that schedule and it's coming up, just switch flips and I'm ready. I don't know why though. Since my freshman year, every time I seen, like the first time we played them, I was like, wow, like the prep, because yeah. It's like MC versus the prep, and you hear a lot about the prep in middle school, and they've had a lot of success. So it's like, I want to show what I could go out and do, because they never seen a kid from Roxbury that's going to come out and tear this up. No matter what you do, you can send three guys at me, I'm still getting mine. You know, so it's like, that's why I really enjoy playing.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like year in and year out, they're always that top team, especially in football, right, in that conference or in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it's kind of getting up and playing with, like, sometimes arguably the best team in the state, you know, depending on what year it is. But, so you get up a little bit more because you know you're going against, you know, some of the best. So I like that. Mine was always, I mean, I went back and forth, but it was always Austin Prep when I coached. It was just something about them when we play them, always good teams and just – yeah, it was always battles there. And you just kind of, when you play them that week, it was just the practice was a little different, you know? What type of music you rock into, like before a game? Are you a guy that's like listening to loud music in the locker room? You more like headphones type guy here, doing your own thing to get warmed up?
I'm more of a headphones type guy, get myself in. And so I get myself ready, and then I'm able to pump up my teammates as well. So.
And what are you rocking to?
I listen to some Rod Wave. you know, NBA Youngboy, and some Boston artists.
So I know none of who you said, but I listen, if you get juiced up as much as you do, I want to listen to that those guys before I do anything.
I sent you my playlist.
Hey, listen, you know what? We have a Beyond playlist that we're going to be dropping soon, too. I'll have to send you ours. You have to listen to ours, too. I mean, yours is probably way cooler than ours, but still, we'll send it. We'll send it. Basketball a little bit. You know, you mentioned your coach before. Now, I've never met your coach before, but I've heard three things about him. Well, I shouldn't say three things about him. Three things I feel about him. One, nothing but respect because this dude just wins, right? Two, I heard he's one of the best coaches to watch on the sideline during a game. I heard he's the most animated. Like, I want to cover a game because I've heard I coach watch a lot being a coach. Like, I love coach watching. There's nothing funner when you go to any high school game, no matter what it is, a coach watch. And I heard he is like one of the best to watch because he's like, he's passionate. He's animated. He's into the game. He cares about his kids. He cares about his team. Like, I love that. Like, that's awesome. And three, I heard his players just absolutely love him. They absolutely love him. And you said it here. So, what is it about Coach Walsh that is just, he's above everyone else? Like in your eyes,
in my eyes, I think it's just because, well, the reason why I enjoy him being my coach is because he's shown me on multiple occasions this is bigger than the game. And he likes to win. I like to win too. He tells me all the time, like, Ben, you're the way you play, you have to have that energy 24/7. You have to have that battery in your back that keeps you going. Cause if my teammates look at me and they're like, oh, well, Ben's doing this, so I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to clap. I'm not going to. So he really, like, he's helped me become the person I am right now, the person I've developed into since freshman year, because he's just different. Like, he's just, like, his energy's different, whether it's me and him having a regular conversation or me and him having a conversation on the sideline. He's just, his energy's different. He's just a type of guy. That's why I respect him.
Awesome, man. It's good to hear, you know, and I think for coaches, it's nice to have coaches hear that because coaches that really love what they do and they're passionate about it, man, like they love it like you love it, you know, and they love it in different ways and, you know, in the same ways. So it's nice to recognize when like one person loves a sport from one perspective and sees the respect and love that somebody else has it from maybe a whole different perspective, like coaches and players. So that's really cool to hear. And one of the things I want to ask is about is the MC Mosh. I mean, I heard during basketball games, that place is electric. Like people say like you, like after a certain amount, they can't even let people in because there's like a fire hazard or whatever. There's so many people there. I mean, is this place as advertised?
MC Mosh is no joke. We've had a few complaints because MC Mosh, they get in your head. So MC Mosh is definitely one of the best fan sections of Mass right now.
That's what I hear. You know, we are here at Beyond. In the fall, we look for the best concession stand at a football game, and Shawshin Tech slam dunked it. They were unbelievable food truck, the whole nine yards. But in winter sports, we are looking for the best fan section there is, period. Like any sport. And we've heard MC, and so I've talked to AD. We're going to try to work something to get there because we've been wanting to cover our basketball game for a couple of years. And having you on here now, like, I want to see it live. And I want to videotape it and have it in our camera roll forever that we can use this 10 years from now and beyond. When you're killing it, playing it somewhere else, and be like, yep, we saw this kid play hoop live and ease is advertised. So we're hoping to get there, man. You know, and I want to just kind of wrap up with this like last question to ask you, and you alluded to it very early in the podcast, which was great to hear, but we do have a lot of our audiences, like high school players, college players, so on and so forth. In our, you know, age ranges from 18 to 42. I mean, we have a lot of listeners in that age bracket and people that have coached or whatever that are just interested in the type of podcast that we do. What's your advice to young athletes out there that are going into high school? And you know, someone like yourself who may be expected to walk in and be like, yeah, I can compete with the big boys and play right away. I mean, what's your advice to somebody who's walking into high school and trying to navigate maybe that first season or that first, you know, workout or that first whatever when they get there?
My advice would be, one, stay true to you. Don't lose who you are as a person, no matter what. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to be like the other kids. Don't try to do what the other kids are doing. Stay in your lane. And two, I would also tell them, maybe in middle school, you were the man. In middle school, you were that guy that they called on. But freshman year, it's a whole new start. It's brand, it's new leaf. So now it's time to work harder and get those minutes that you claim you deserve and just work hard. Keep your head up no matter what comes your way, because your time's going to come. You know, and I would tell them something my mom always tells me all the time. Like, just trust God, you know, because, you know, if you trust God, keep working, you're good. Keep your head up, you're good, you know. And I think a lot of young kids, like, they start to panic when they don't get this many amount of minutes or this many points. They start to panic and they start to like get in their own head, because I was the same way. But then I had to realize, like, my time's coming. I just have to stay patient and keep working.
You're a pretty mature kid. I mean, I'm really impressed with you. I have to be totally honest with you. You know, I like I said, I've been following you now for a few years, and just like right out the gate, just listening to you talk, like, yeah, I can see why you were a captain very early on. Like, I totally understand it, and I can see just who you are on the court and who you are on the field. And yeah, like, programs are really lucky to have guys like you. So keep doing what you're doing. I know commuting to school, it's a lot of work, and keeping up the work and late nights. But man, you are like learning like a lesson in life that you don't even understand yet, that you doing something like this, there's not stopping you from doing anything else that you want to put your mind to, because you definitely are the type of person that can get it done, man. So very impressive podcast with you. So I really appreciate you coming on here today.
Of course, I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah. And we'll talk off here when we sign off here a little bit. We'll chit chat. But yeah, we definitely want to come cover you guys. We got to make that work. And yeah, we'll chat about a few other things. But it's funny, I had this guest on maybe like 3 months ago. His name's Hector Johnson, defensive end, plays for Endicott. He is unreal. And like, there were times I kind of looked away from the computer screen for a second, because you guys sound so much like each other and you remind me a lot of each other. Like, especially when you just said God at the end, like talked about God at the end, like he was very talked about his mom and God and faith and put in his, like, yeah, like you guys, I got to link you two up. Like, you guys,
yeah,
are guys, you guys, yeah, you guys are both like very mature, like focused kids, like young men, I should say, excuse me, but you guys are very focused men. And like, man, I can't wait to see what happens for you in the next few years. I'm really, really interested to see.
I appreciate you. I appreciate Beyond for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, from Beyond Podcast, I'm your host, Anthony Petrellis. Next week, we have another couple episodes. So we are rock and roll. We have busy January, February, March. We are locked in. And yeah, before you know, we're going to be at 200. We just hit 100 in July. Our goal is, you never know, we might get there at the end of this year. We'll see. But till next time.
Till next time. Peace.